It's all well and good to intervene before something is unnecessarily thrown away. But what happens the vast majority of the time when our scraps and discards roll away on a dump truck to some distant site most of us will never see? It turns out that even then, there's a chance for reuse and reinvention of our trash. For everything from paint cans to metal objects to buckets to dirt to just about any found object you can imagine. Rebecca Fiffner and producer Matt Larson went to San Francisco for our third piece to find out more about the unique art program that's set up at, of all places, a dump.
You guys want to see everything, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Micah Gibson is as enthusiastic and proud of his job as most San Franciscans are of their city. And he's about to take Matt and I on a tour of his place of work, the San Francisco Dump.
So this is the transfer station, and this is where all the trash in San Francisco goes before it goes to the landfill. We transfer it into the larger trucks here. And it's a giant pit. We call it the pit here. And it's about as big as a football field, and it's about 15 to 20 feet deep, and it fills up and empties about every day of the week. I think right now it's between 12 and 1,400 tons a day.
Micah gives tours almost four times a week, and these tours at the dump are highly sought after, mostly by elementary schools.
We usually book a year in advance, and the tours that we do with the children are booked through the Department of the Environment, and they actually get to choose where they want to go. You know, they can go to the dump, they can go to the waste treatment plant, or there's a program at Golden Gate Park that they can go to. But ours is really coveted.
There's good reason why this particular tour is so popular. Just like the kids, Matt and I didn't come here just to learn about trash.
Have you guys ever been to an art show?
We came to learn more about the dump's artist-in-residence program.
This is our art studio. We'll clean up this whole area and it will turn into a gallery. And this is where we show all the art.
It might seem odd to house working artists in the middle of what some might call San Francisco's colon, but like a lot of things at the dump, it was a creative solution to an otherwise glaring problem. When the dump had problems with seagulls...
We have to try to keep the seagulls out of here as much as we can because it's not healthy for them. And they make a mess.
They put a hawk on the payroll.
It's a Harris hawk. And we have a falconer come out. And he flies the bird around. And it scares the seagulls away because it's a natural predator.
When they realized that people were throwing away cans of perfectly good paint, the dump had an answer to that, too.
They mix light colors, so white and gray. And, you know, they make a brown, probably. We put them into 5-gallon jugs, and then anyone can come get free paint.
So it shouldn't be much of a surprise that the dump created the Artist-in-Residence program to tackle a much larger question. How do you raise awareness about the 1,400 tons of trash generated daily in San Francisco?
They started it because they wanted a way to rethink the natural resources that people were using, you know, and throwing away. It started in 1990, and it was started by a woman who kind of got the ball rolling on everything. Her name was Jo Hansen, and she was a local artist and activist who was doing a lot of environmentally aware work, and she had a big home on Octavia Street. And she started sweeping up around her house and just picking up all this paper and debris that was flying around in the wind and kind of keeping her block clean. And she started doing these art projects with all these letters and all kinds of things she'd find. And I think someone from the city contacted her and they wanted to show her where the trash went. And so they brought her out here and she just thought it was an amazing, you know, resource for artists. They would love to have it.
One of the projects I did there was a tribute to Jo Hansen.
That's Scott Oliver, one of the San Francisco Dump's alumni artists in residence.
While I was there, I swept every day as this kind of meditative practice. But I amassed all these sweepings. And the piece actually, like, there were a couple of objects that were produced. One was this kind of hourglass made out of 2 5-gallon water bottles, and it was filled with the sifted sweepings. It was shown with a photograph of her sweeping in front of her house and then a photograph of me sweeping at the dump.
Scott is a project-based artist living in Oakland, and he first came to the dump on a tour just like ours. Scott is drawn to found and discarded objects, and he's interested in their hidden and not-so-hidden narratives. For him, the residency at the dump was an opportunity to explore these objects and how they intersect with us.
I think it really started as a kind of intuitive feeling about both found objects and sometimes discarded. The value of these things like becomes much more subjective, I guess. Like it's not set by a store or a corporation. And it's sort of a second life. They exist out beyond their initial inception. And at that point, I think that it becomes much more subjective. Most objects that are used have this kind of like patina of having intersected with people and circumstances and conditions and experiences. So though it's not necessarily always explicit in the objects, they carry with them this baggage of history and have these sort of implicit stories. Everything around us is sort of made or designed with some kind of intentionality behind it. And to me, that makes all this stuff a lot like sculpture. Like, there are these forms that someone considers and thinks about and do have meaning, though I think we tend to kind of, like, just see them for their function.
That's the downside to functional stuff. When an item no longer functions the way we originally intended, we throw it away. These unwanted items that appear at the dump. It's the artist's responsibility to see these things for more than just their original intended function, and they get the first chances to reinterpret them.
And we've actually just started to weigh things as they go out to see how much the artists actually collect. And the last residency, it was a lot, but something like 22,000 pounds or something.
Lots of chances. In fact, the program requires that the artists get 99% of their material from the dump.
And the artists come in here with their shopping cart. We actually call this the big store because it's like going shopping. And they find a shopping cart that's been thrown away. And then they come in here and they fill up their shopping cart. It's a surprise sometimes when people are like, are you the artist here? You know, and they're like, oh yeah, they know about the program. And it's funny, sometimes, you know, they'll hand you something or they'll hand the artist something. You always have to accept things they hand you. You can make art out of this, you know? It's a canvas. Of course you can. We've had people who have come in and dumped things and then came to an art show and been really surprised at what was made out of it. Because, you know, a lot of people think that art is paintings and drawings and, you know, sculptures and things like that. They're not thinking about these materials in that way or haven't thought about them that way yet. So, you know, when the program first started, it was garbage art. You know, you could tell it was garbage. It was art made from garbage. But now there's such a fine line that you can't, you know, you wouldn't guess that this is garbage or it came from garbage.
And that's an important distinction. Making art that people would look at and say, oh, that came from trash, isn't the point of having artists at the dump. Scott explains.
Because it is about creating awareness rather than solving the problem. I don't think that people making art out of discarded objects is going to solve the problem.
The problem, of course, being waste. Over 500,000 tons a year at this transfer station alone.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's this part of the recycling and reuse equation that I think doesn't get talked about enough, which is the sort of psychology and culture of consumerism and the kind of space that creates in people's minds about if you have something and you don't need it anymore, you just get rid of it. And if you need something, you just go to the store and buy it. And that's a certain mindset. It's not like the way things have to be.
Our entire experience at the dump seems to be an example of things as they could be. Take, for example, the dump's pride and joy.
This is the sculpture garden. One of our artists, Susan Steinman, designed and built it in 1991. It's about 3 acres. But these are other recycled materials. The bricks are from the Spur building that came down on Mission Street, the old Spur building. And then the gravel is from the Embarcadero Freeway. When it came down in 89, they ground it up after the Loma Prieta earthquake. And we use it here. The majority of these plants that you see over here were actually found in the green waste area. And they were still alive. We just had to put them back in the ground. And then we gave them some compost and some water. And they're doing fine. You know, people always want new things, no matter what they are.
I mean, when you go up into the sculpture garden, which is this kind of hill that's sort of behind all the buildings and stuff, you have a much greater vantage point on what's around there. It's one of the places they take you when you go there on a public tour. And I think it's fairly altruistic. I mean, beyond the PR part of it, it's for them a way to connect what they're doing with trash to people's lives. Or, like, there's an idea that people can approach the subject through art or artistic expression.
A good example of how that connection seems to be translating well is through the popularity of the art openings at the dump. On a typical opening night, almost 600 people will attend, and they're not staying away because of the smell. In fact, Micah told us that the dump even smells better these days. He said that the worst smells come from decomposing organic waste, basically all the food we throw away. Now that people are composting more, the stench has grown fainter to a point.
The smells don't bother me anymore. There's only one smell that's really bad here, and it doesn't happen very often, but we have some food waste we have to put into a big box and then put superheated water into it to boil it. It's food waste that comes off of cruise ships because it could bring something over from another country. So there's a steam in the air, you know, and you can't escape it. It's like, you know, the fog, you know, the horrible, stinky, stench fog.
In spite of whatever smells might be looming, people are still coming to the dump, and it's clear that word is getting out. Hundreds of people attend the art openings, and we're 50% better at recycling now than we were 15 years ago. But for me, the clearest sign that the idea of reuse is gaining momentum comes from the dump workers themselves.
This is the guys who work here, put this stuff together. He started this bear thing. It's their art. Load checkers. And these on the hill up here, these are all things that have been thrown away. And the guys who work here have put them up on the hill.
The dump is kind of like, you get to see your life, like your personal life, the way that you use and discard objects, writ large, really large. Like you get the scale of a city and you kind of think like, oh God, like the primary thing that humans do is just like move things from one place to another. And it's just constantly going on. Objects only come to be because of human desire, and they get discarded because they're no longer desirable. But that's all about us.
The Artisan Residence Program at the San Francisco Dump is designed to help us respond differently to our environment and raise awareness about the waste we create as a society. And it's one of the few programs that tries to change the way we think about the stuff we use. Throwing something into the recycling bin is good, but giving that item a second or even a third life before it gets recycled is better. And that's what Micah and others in the residency program hope for.
I think I've become more optimistic because I get to work with the kids and I get to see how excited they are. It makes me hopeful that they are going to make an effort that I've only begun to make, and they're just 10 or 12 years old. So I've become more optimistic that way. But then sometimes when I walk out around and it's still there, the same amount, it gets a little like, oh, is it ever going to stop? It just keeps coming, you know?
The residency program is a role model for us. To give us permission to tap into that place where we can go from seeing something as trash to seeing it as something more. Using one object for only one purpose is not enough. And as Scott says, to see only one function is a certain mindset, which is not how it has to be.
When you bring a bag home from the grocery store and you've taken all the groceries out, try to get that bag to work at least once more. Well, that is what reusing is all about.
Once is not enough.